Father God, we give thanks. We give praise to you and to your name and to Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord God, for being the only God there is none like you. Thank you, Lord. You are with us every day, Lord. Remind us, no matter what we face, you are greater. Father, your word tells us you greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the name is Jesus. So, Lord God, we just give you praise. And Lord, in the midst of what we face, through good times and tough times, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We lift up our eyes up into the mountains because our help will always come from you. And Lord God, as we gather together this morning, we give thanks. It is a privilege, Lord, that we can gather together to praise you, hear your word, and live for you to bring you glory and honor. So Lord God, as we come and we start out every service with prayer, with singing, before we hear your word, Lord God, will you inhabit the praises of your people for your glory and for your honor. That's why we live. So Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's praise the Lord this morning. Come on.
Your head.
Presence by the Spirit, oh Lord. Move us and stir us not just to sing but to live, because Christ lives in us. Lord, you are here. You're here with us. We bring you glory. We bring you honor. Lord, I come.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Lead us.
Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour I need. righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey. The result is obedience. The way to obey is to love. Lord God, we know it's not the do's and don'ts, for it is religion. It is to deepen the relationship with your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus. It is to follow his example, how he lived for you when he walked on this earth. how your unconditional love reached out to us, and through us you wanted to go to others. How our lives is on purpose and by design. There is nothing by chance that people will be saved. Your word tells us, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord God, I pray our hearts are just sold out for you. And Lord, we know Christians are not perfect. We have a perfect Savior who makes up for all of our shortcomings, but never gives us the excuse to keep going down, but saves us to keep rising up, to bring you glory and honor, God, by how we live, to love another's, to meet others' needs as others have met ours. Father, love is an action. It is not a word. Love is only a word. It's cheap, Lord. Grace was given by the life of your Son. May we give that grace that comes from you and give it to others to share Christ, that they will be saved, God. That's why we're here every Sunday morning as a church, as a body. That's why we come to inquire. We come to know. We come to listen. We want, Lord, we want you. I know we want you. We desire you. But Lord, in Philippians said, it is you, God, who gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. We can't do it on our own. It is all in you. So let us focus on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. We follow Jesus Christ the Lord. He is risen. He is alive. He is in us. Let us not trust in 5-10-step plan, but trust in our Savior who gave his life as a living sacrifice. And we are called to do the same. And Lord God, I pray when we stay focused on Christ, knowing you will get us through thick and thin. You will give us the perseverance to endure. You give us the power to overcome. And we can say hallelujah, like we said in the songs. Praise the Lord God Almighty, for you are worthy of praise. Thank you, O God. There is none like you. We give you the glory and honor. We give you our prayers and our praises. We give it all in the name above all names, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all people said, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Valley Isle Fellowship. I have a new microphone. I'm excited. It even has announcements on it. So that's me. My name is Shanley. I'm the announcement guy. But if you're new with us today, we're just so honored to have you. And in your bulletin that you've been given this morning is a yellow Connect card. So if you could, for us to get to better know you and for you to know us, if you could fill that out for us and drop it in the offering bowl as it comes around at the end of the service, we really appreciate that. So, if you notice outside, we have a nice bright white wall. And I just want to thank everyone for coming to the paint party yesterday. And it was just such an awesome turnout that we had. And if you could just see the results. But I was involved in another project with the building. And I was kind of jealous because all I heard was laughing. But I asked who had the most paint on them and not on the walls. And I think, Wayne, yeah, Wayne. But there's no prize for that, Wayne, so I'm sorry. But again, I just want to thank everybody for coming out and just participating in the fellowship and the project that we had. I think it was a huge success. And we also had Joseph Shum's project out there, too, happening at the same time. And you can see the results of that, too. So we were able to come alongside with the Boy Scout and the troop to fellowship also. So it was a great, great day in the Lord yesterday. And it was kind of hot, too. But it was all good. So with the announcements, hey, Vince is back. Hey, Vince. It's awesome to see him back, and we're looking forward to hearing the testimonies of the mission trip to the Philippines. So we look forward to that, and be on the lookout for our announcements to see when that date is going to happen. So again, he can share with us the testimonies of the trip. First of all, this is October 1st. We're entering the fall season already. 6 months in this building, that makes, yeah. But, you know, we get excited because, the holidays are approaching. But we really get excited about one program that we're involved in at the end of the year in Christmas time. And to give you more information about that, I want to call up Carol Sniffen. Carol can give you the details about what we get excited about at the end of the year.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Carol. If you don't know me, my better half is Andy, who's the all-around maintenance guy here. Okay. I don't like this. And I tried to get away from this. I told Pastor Steve, I want to do it down there. He said, no. If I got to be up here, I have to be up here too. This is not one of my things. Okay. We're kicking off Operation Christmas Child, OCC. And Clarice and I are the leaders in this. We'd like to thank you folks, first of all, for your participation. Last year we had about 138 boxes. Yeah? But you know where all the thanks and the glory is? In God, because he's given us this opportunity to participate where he's working. And he's working throughout the world. So what he wants us to do is grab a box back there, fill it up with a wow item like a doll, a soccer ball with a pump. Because if you send a soccer ball, it's going to be flat. They cannot pump it up, right? They cannot blow. Other items that you think, a baseball cap that particular age group would like. And then other items like school supplies, no liquids, no toothpaste. But get this, you can send them toothbrush. Okay? No other items that gives them reminders of the war, like camouflage items, water guns. No things like that, because the children are already traumatized. This is the new box that they have. It's really nice. It's plastic, but unfortunately, we weren't able to order it because they're all gone. So we might have these for next year. But I tell you what, the first person that comes up to me today and tell me, can I have that box? I'll give it to you. It weathers in the cold and the hot, unlike the other boxes. So in your bulletins today, there's included a shoebox gift. It tells you how to fill your boxes, step by step. Also, you could include your photo and a little note for these children because they'd like to know who sent the boxes to them. And they appreciate it because, these shoe boxes are one way to evangelize and disciple and to multiply God's kingdom. And through these gifts of shoeboxes, the children will know God's love, share their faith, and grow in it. And that way, the gospel is multiplied throughout the world. You may make your donation it's an increase. Sorry, it's not us. $9 in your boxes. You can make it out to Samaritan's Purse. And with that $9, it includes the greatest gift storybook for the children, which talks about salvation, the greatest journey booklet for the children, which is a 12-lesson course for children to know Christ, and a teacher's guide, when you fill your boxes up, you may drop it off at the church anytime between due date, November 12, by here. November 13 to the 19th is our collection time where we put it and ship it off. So please don't procrastinate. Bring it anytime between now and the 12th. And if you cannot make a donation in the box, don't worry about it because God will provide. If you cannot shop, you can make a donation or bring your items here and we'll fill your boxes for you. So, no stress, yeah? I'd like to leave you with Matthew 28, 19, 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Also in Isaiah 52, 7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. Philippians 3, 12, 14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to teach to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, has called us. That is to go and make disciples of all the nations. What I learned at the workshop this year that I didn't hear last year was go, G-O, is gospel opportunity. And that's what we need to do. We need to participate where God is leading us and opening our eyes to his work. First of all, please pray when you think about the child that you're going to make this box for. That's really important. And then another thing is, ages 10 through 12, that's a difficult age, and we don't have many boxes for them. So like for the girls, you can put little sewing kits. For the boys, you can put tools. But that was one of the things that they stressed to us, that age group, we didn't have many boxes. It's easy to fill the 2 to 4, the 6 to 8. But that age group is really difficult. So that's where I focused on last year. So if you have any questions, you may call me at 264-3081. If not, see my husband. Or you can call Clarice, but you know, she's so busy, yes, so call me. It's easier because her hands are full. This week, she'll be away. Next week, I'll be away. But just call me. I'll answer your call from where I'm going to be. So remember, anybody who wants this box, you can come and ask me. I'll give it to you. Thank you. There's also opportunity for you to be to be volunteers throughout the year with Operation Christmas Child. You can be in leadership, church relations, logistics, community relations, media relations, prayer mobilization, administrative support, and student relations. Come and see Clarice or me, and we'll share with you. Thank you.
Too much. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Again, yeah, this is something that we always get fired up about. So, we're looking forward to participating in that. One more last announcement. I know we're long on announcements, but this Friday, first Friday of October, that means men's ministry is happening. So men's ministry, Moving Men of God, Friday here, 5 o'clock. You know, I'm so proud of the men that have committed to this ministry. You know, it's not about us segregating men into one area. It's about just including them in the vision of the church, yeah? Because every man impacted is represented by all of us, yeah? Every family, every child, every, you know, community, co-workers. So please come and join me this Friday, 5 o'clock. Food, fellowship, and sometimes we do an activity that's kind of crazy. But if you don't know if you don't come, find out. So please come. Pastor Steve's back. Clarice is back. Looks refreshed, renewed, ready to go. He looked at me and says, "Oh, you look tired." I said, "Maybe I need a vacation." So we'll have the video and bring Pastor up. Yeah? Oh, no more? Okay. Well, that was about everything that Carol said. So, Pastor, come on up.
Thank you, Shanley. I think we can pray and go home since Carol gave the message. So, good to see all of you. Since you're laughing, I think you're in a good mood, so I can go ahead and preach and humor you even more. Thank you for the retirement lay. It is a retirement lay, not my retirement, but Lynn's retirement. Lynn's going to be retiring from her job at the end of this month, October. So I am really jealous. I thank you for making me smell and look good. It is really good to see all of you. I will give you a short report on my vacation. It was so good, it was hard to come back. And some of you said you missed me, and I need to be honest with you. It was so good, I didn't miss any of you. But I'm just trying to be honest with you, okay? But it was good. So thank you for allowing Clarice and I to get away for a little while. This morning, I'm going to start a new series on the book of Philippians. And in Philippians, you'll find that it is basically Paul talking about contentment and how he learned that this joy over contentment does not depend on external circumstances, okay, but on Jesus Christ. So we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to start with that this morning. There is a statement there is a verse in our passage today that the title comes from. God continues his good work in you until completion, okay? God continues that good work in you until completion. And I want to add to it, it doesn't matter about the circumstances that you may find yourself in. God is still continuing to do his work, his good work, until completion. So let's read through this passage of scripture. It's Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. I am writing to all God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. So this passage of scripture is being written to the church in Philippi and all of its leaders. Then in verse 2 he says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Now, this is kind of the introduction. And he's saying, man, I really appreciate all of you because you are good people. You have been good partners along with me. Then in verse 6, he says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, this passage of Scripture tells me that as you've begun something good in us, you will continue it until its completion. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for being a God who is faithful unto the end to us. May we be found faithful unto you until the end. Father, I pray that you quicken our minds and our hearts to receive from you what you desire to give. And Lord, may this bring glory and honor to you. And in our lives, Father, may this bring strength, stability, and joy now and forever. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin speaking about this, you know that tragedy seems to be all over and around us. Last night here in Maui, I think it was late yesterday afternoon, here in Maui, we lost 4 people here on the island to a traffic accident. And so, dear people, we never know when our time's going to come, but we need to be ready whenever the Lord calls us home. Also, dear people, the main reason I bring this up is please be in prayer. Please be in prayer for those who are going through such a horrendous situation this morning. Okay, I don't know if there were visitors. I don't know if there were locals, but there are people who are in distress today. So reach out to them through your prayer life. Okay. I want you to know in this passage of Scripture, there is a statement of fact. Fact. What is fact? Something that is true, right? A statement of fact is something that is true. And there are eternal truths that cannot be changed by any kind of circumstance. It is just true. And there is a statement of eternal fact here. Okay? Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns." You hear what that's saying? This is a statement of eternal truth. God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finished on the day when Christ returns. So, dear people, first point here is, here he says, Paul is saying, I am certain. I am certain. That means he is showing complete confidence. Complete confidence in God. Okay? Paul is saying, nothing can shake me from this. I am certain that God is going to carry this out. What is he going to carry out? He says that he began and therefore will continue until it is finished. He began it. You know, when you came to know Jesus Christ, that wasn't your great work. That was his great work, that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not your act. It's his act that matters here. He began a good work within you. He was the one that chose to reveal himself to you. Okay? He was the one not only to reveal himself to you, he was the one to provide for your great salvation. There is nothing that you or I can do to gain our salvation. Dear people, really understand that. There is nothing you can do. All the great work that we may do does not gain us more favor in God's eyes. Okay? We cannot work for our salvation. It's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on me. But it's dependent on him. He began it. Not only did he begin it, but he will continue it. He will provide you the strength, the wisdom, the power to keep on going. You know, when you stop and you think, oh God, I can't do it. I can't do it. Is that a true statement? Whatever it is you're saying you can't do, is that a true statement? If it is God leading you to it, is it a true statement? Cannot do it? That's not true. Whatever God leads you to do, you can do. You can do. But it is a matter of choice, a matter of personal will, whether we will do it or not. So many times when all the time we say we can't do it when God, we know God is leading us to do it, it is really us saying, I won't do it. Because it's a matter of choice. Because he will continue to do his good work in you. He's going to do it. Not you. It's not dependent on how much will you have, how much power you have, how much wisdom and influence you may have, how much wealth you may have. That doesn't matter. All that matters is whether God is leading you to do it. And I'll tell you this, dear people. In this passage of Scripture, all the things that are being mentioned here, he wills for each one of us to do. He is the one that's willing. So therefore, he is the one that's going to empower the continuing of it. Okay, so that it can be accomplished. And then it says here, until it is finished. Until it is finished. He's not going to lead you halfway and leave you high and dry. He's going to lead you all the way. Therefore, no matter how difficult your circumstances may be, if God started it, he will continue it until it is finished. Okay? You believe that? You agree with that? You going to live it? Well, the real story on that may still need to be written. But understand this. If we fail to do this, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. He provides everything we need. If we fail to do this, it's our fault because we chose not to believe it and not to do it. Okay. But it's not God's fault. Not God. He is a great, good God. How good is God? He is greater than anything in this universe. Anyone in this universe. God is good. How does the saying goes? All the time. And all the time?
God is good.
Now, is that just a saying or is that the attitude of our hearts? God is good, isn't he? All the time. And all the time, he is good. God, if God is involved in it, it is always good work. If God is involved in it, it is always good work. That's C. Okay. I'm going to brag here a little bit. One of our young men, Joseph, is doing a fabulous job back here. If you take a look at what's happening back here. Joseph, you guys, you and your team of people that have been coming out the last 2 weekends, they're always thanking us. You guys are always thanking us for allowing you to do it. Dear people, we should be thanking them for what they're doing. That is a tremendous project back there. Do you know what's going on back there? They are building an amphitheater right in back of the church. There are 4 tiers where people can sit. And at the bottom is going to be a circular concrete slab where we can put our baptistry. And it's going to be a tremendous setting for baptistry. And you sit down there and you look at those who are getting baptized and you look at the scenery that is back there. Dear people, we're blessed. They're doing all the hard work. I bet all of your guys are feeling kind of sore today. Because those blocks are 80-pound blocks. Isn't that a good work? But all of those people who are involved in their project, those who donated, because Joseph was able to go out and get donations, all those who donated, they're not building up brownie points for God. Okay? Because there's nothing we can do to build and grant our salvation. But they're doing it because of Joseph. Joseph is doing it because he wants to do something great for God. His love and commitment to the Lord is what's driving him. Dear people, anything that involves God is good. You're going to get your ego scout prod. You're going to get the ego scout. But God is going to get the glory because of what you're doing. Because, man, that's glorious. Dear people, anything we do for the Lord is good. You may think of it as being insignificant. You may think of it being very puny. But anything you do for the Lord is good. And anything God does for you is good. He who began a good work in you, whenever God's involved, it's always good. You may think at that point, oh, this is terrible. But God can turn lemons into lemonade very easily. God can turn what seems to be bad into something good as long as our attitude is right, right? Knowing that, God, you're doing it. God, this is something good. Even though I can't see it right now, it is something good. It does not depend on circumstances. This good work, it does not depend on circumstances. Can God do something great in your life as you just got admitted into the hospital because of a severe accident and you're going to be there for a long time because you're really banged up? Can God do something great with that? So the hospital, the impending things surrounding that accident, that doesn't determine whether God can do something great in your life. Doesn't. God can work through any circumstance to bring about his good work. Okay. How many of you have ever gone to visit somebody in the hospital and you had a hard time getting to that hospital because you're thinking, what am I going to say? I want to do something good in this person's life. I don't want to do something hurtful in this person's life. So you have a struggle in getting to the hospital. Any of you ever have that experience? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when you get to the hospital, you're so blessed to have been there. And the reason you're blessed is because that person that you went to visit becomes a blessing to you. You see, that is God doing something good in your life, even when the circumstances are bad. You see, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the end. Okay? It doesn't matter your circumstance. So many times in the church, we get way down depressed because of what's happening around us. In Philippians later on, you're going to find it say, rejoice in the Lord only sometimes. Well, some of you have been reading ahead. You know what Philippians says. In the fourth chapter, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, because does not depend on the circumstance. So in verse 7, it says this. So it is right that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my what? Imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. Right after he says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the end. We'll finish it to the end. Then he says, boy, you hold a special place in my heart because you have shared with me special favor of God in my imprisonment. He's been arrested and put into prison, and yet God is with him, and they were supporting him. In the imprisonment, God is still there. God can do something great. It does not matter your circumstance. God can do a good work in you regardless. Because even in the worst of circumstances, he says here, not only in the imprisonment, but also in defending and confirming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what situation that you're in, you can help to confirm and to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is good all the time. And all the time, Jesus is good. No matter where you may be. So, you keep on keeping on. And one, you will possess a special place in God's heart. Two, your circumstances, not even imprisonment, can change that. Three, you have this special, definitely you have this special place in the power of defending and confirming the truth of the good news. When you're just operating on faith, then who's going to be working in you and through you? Who's going to be working in and through you if you're operating on faith? God will. Jesus will. So it's not dependent on your power. It really depended on his power. You know, there are days that I get up here to preach and I walk away feeling like, Steve, you did a terrible job. You did a horrible job. And I walk away and I kind of hanging my tail behind me, if I had a tail, and I go to the back, and then as I fellowship with you, some of you come to me and say, Steve, man, God used you to speak to my situation. I'm thinking to myself, how could that be? I really blew it in this. But see, it's not dependent on what I do. It's dependent on my faithfulness to let God use me. And thank goodness, he translates my mistakes to your heart. Darren, thank you for the new microphone. And this is a brand new microphone. It's a special microphone because it helps the Lord by taking out all my mistakes. Isn't that what you told me? Oh, you're denying it now. But thank goodness I don't have to depend upon a microphone. I can depend on the Lord Jesus. He can take my mistakes and use it for his glory. As long as I'm willing to risk and get out there and make the mistakes for his glory. So, dear people, don't be afraid of mistakes. Be more afraid of lapsing into nothingness. Well, you'll do nothing for the Lord because you don't want to risk making a mistake. So what if you make a mistake? That only shows you're a human being. And you know what? God created human beings like you, like me. And he loves us, doesn't he? So he can use us for his glory. And you know, sometimes our biggest mistakes, God uses for his greatest glory. Our biggest mistakes, he uses for his greatest glory. But if we weren't willing to risk and get out there and do what we think God is calling us to do, and we made a mistake, God would not be able to use our nothingness. So, dear people, we have a great, good God. God's commitment to you is point number two. Philippians 1, 8 through 9 says this: God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. In knowledge and in understanding. Understand this. A, Paul's love is only a reflection of Jesus' longing love for them, the Philippians. Any love that you or I would display to anyone of us here, or anyone in the community, or anyone in the world, should be only a reflection of God's love for them. Okay? We need to be a reflection of God's love for those that surround us, especially the body of Christ. You know what, dear people? This says God's longing love. Boy, that's a deep desire, a longing. What is the greatest commandment of all? Loving the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul. You know what God's greatest longing is? To display his love for you. That's God. In the midst of a world full of evil, keep on remembering that God's longing love for you is what he wants to display to you. In spite of the evil that may surround us, he wants to break through the evil and show you, not necessarily taking away the evil, but showing his love to you in the midst of that evil. Let me give you one biblical example of that, and you can find many biblical examples. But when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, that's almost like being thrown into the pit of evil. Did God's love break through to Daniel? Yes, it did. Where was Daniel's heart centered? On God. Looking at God, not at the lions, is a great lesson for you and I. Look at God. He is a great, loving God. You see, Paul's love is only a reflection of Jesus' love. Be praying that their love would overflow. That was what Paul was doing. My prayer for you is that you don't learn a whole lot from me, but you learn a whole lot from the Lord. And that caused you to have your love for the Lord overflow. Because if your love for the Lord overflows, we will accomplish all the things that we want to accomplish as a church. And God will be able to, Jesus will be able to accomplish everything he wants to accomplish in and through your life. That's the key to all of this. That you love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That it be overflowing. That you cannot contain it. That whoever you come in contact with, it just spills out on them. I remember turning on the spigot back here in back of our church. And as I turned it on, we have this double thing connected to it with some kind of valve on it that when it first comes out, it just splatters all over the place. And when the flow gets going good, it goes out through the two hoses. But I didn't know that the first time I turned it on. I turned it on a little bit and all over me. I got wet. That's the way the love of the Lord needs to be in our life. It just gets all over us, and then it cannot contain itself, and we just gush over everybody else. Your love for Jesus needs to just gush over everybody else. That's where I think evangelism and discipleship become very powerful. Where you cannot contain it. You cannot contain the love of Jesus just within you. And it just gushes out over people. Now, last night, those who were University of Hawaii fans are not gushing today. It was not really a great game last night. But if the score was reversed, okay, if the score was reversed, what was it? 51-21? Something like that? 51-21? If the score was reversed, you think University of Hawaii fans would be gushing today? If they had done that to UCLA when they played UCLA, score reversed, and it was comparable score, you think University of Hawaii fans would be gushing? Well, dear people, we have an overwhelming God who loves us. An overwhelming God who just gushes all over us. We have every reason to be gushing out over everyone else around us because we have such a great God. You see, dear people, we need to overflow in our love for the Lord. And then see this overflowing love will result in a maturing of our knowledge and understanding in the Lord. It won't just be feelings in our lives, but he will give us knowledge and understanding. And it'll be knowledge about his word, because I'll tell you this, dear people. We won't have to give you a plan of reading the Bible, because you can't stop but yearning to read the Bible. Some of you are having problems reading the Bible every day. Let me tell you this. Get to the point where your love for Jesus is just gushing out, and you can't stop from reading the Word of God. 10 minutes a day is not enough. It probably come to the time when 1 hour a day is not enough, because you are just yearning for all that God can give you. All the knowledge and all the understanding that he can give you. Dear people, overflowing love for the Lord will result in overflowing love for others. And it will also result in a maturing of our knowledge and understanding of the Lord. Then finally, point three, God's desire for you. Now, we started off with a statement of fact. Then we went to God's commitment to you. But look at now God's desire for you. Verse 10. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. How many of you want to bring praise and glory to God? This kind of gives us an understanding of what it will take. First, what really matters if you want to bring glory and honor to our Lord is to live pure and blameless lives until the end. How many of you need to do better in that area? I got to raise both hands and both feet to that. Got to do better in that. Let me say to you this, don't stop trying. No matter how many times you fail, don't stop trying to live pure and blameless lives before the Lord. Because this is what will really bring him glory and honor. This is what will really bring him glory and honor. How many of you ever heard this? A strong chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You ever heard that? A strong church is only as strong as its weakest member. Okay. How many of you believe that? Okay. The strong links need to come alongside of the weak links and start to give strength to the weakest points. And it's not dependent on your strength. It's dependent on the love of the Lord. He will guide you to the weakest links. And there's times when the weakest link is going to be a strength to you. So it is so very important that we understand the full concept of being pure and blameless. You don't live as a hermit in isolation, but you live in community. And so therefore, each person in this room, those sitting next to you, become very important to you living a pure and blameless life. Really important that we really strive with all of our being to live pure and blameless life. And then B, that you be filled with the fruit of your salvation. Be filled with the fruit of your salvation. You know what this means? One, allow Jesus to produce within you a righteous character. It's not enough that you say, okay, I've prayed the sinner's prayer. I've been baptized. I joined the church. I'm good. It's not over, dear people. It's only just begun. Right? Because there's so much more. Because your work is to bring glory and honor unto the Lord. That's your work. Every day of your life, you need to try to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. So praying that prayer and being saved, getting baptized, joining great church is only the beginning of it. Now you move on and let that great church help you to become all that God wants you to be. Okay? And this is what brings much glory and praise to God when you do that. That's your job. That's each of your job. But it needs to move beyond being a job. It needs to be a longing desire to do that. Okay. Where I don't care if it's my job anymore. It's my desire to do it. It moves from an obligation to a passion. Dear people, it's got to be our passion to love the Lord. Philippians is a book that speaks about contentment that is not dependent on circumstance. Your contentment can only be there, your eternal contentment can only be there if you will choose to love Him to the point where you want to bring glory and honor to Him. And then all of these things that we're talking about, and it may seem, Steve, you're talking in a fairy tale world because this is not possible. No, it is possible because it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on our God. We got to love Him. We got to serve Him. We got to do what's pleasing to Him. And all of these things are possible. So, dear people, I want to say this to you. Yeah, you may have failed a lot in the last few days. But is it dependent on you? No. It's dependent on Him. Seek to love Him with a passion that cannot be squelched. Love Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, it is our desire to desire You, Father. It is our desire to become pleasing unto You in every way. It is our desire to come to the point where we desire to glorify and magnify you. Lord, use the failings in our lives. Use the challenges and the trials that may be before us for your kingdom's glory. Satan would want these challenges and these trials to destroy us. But Father, you desire through each of those trials to build us and to strengthen us. So Father, may you have your way in our lives, and may it defeat all of Satan's ways in our lives. Father, if there's anyone here today that has not come to the point of accepting you as their Lord and Savior, none of these things are going to be possible because you are not actively involved in their lives. Father, you don't force your way into any one of our lives. But Father, you knock on the door. And if we open the door and let you come in, Father, then all the greatness of all that you promise us, Lord, becomes available to us. But if we keep the door closed, none of that becomes an opportunity to us. So, Father, if there's someone here today that hasn't opened the door to you, may this be the day that they open the door and let you come in. Father, if there are some who's opened the door, but, Father, they just kind of riding on the fence. They're just, at times they say yes to you, and at times they close the door on you. Father, may this be the day that they recommit their lives to you and fully open the door to you. And Father, those who have fully opened the door to you, use them completely for your kingdom's glory. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in each person's life, but Father, you are certainly working in each person's life. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here today. Lord, complete that good work that you are doing in their life until the end. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. And Father, we ask that you bless this offering. May it be used for your kingdom's glory. May you bless the giver, Lord, as they give in faith. And may you bless the gift, Lord, that it be used effectively for your kingdom's glory. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here this morning. I pray this morning that you haven't heard from me, but I'm praying that God spoke to you. Now I would ask that you be faithful to what God has said to you. Go and be continually blessed as you love and serve our Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a great day.